Uhuru, you are listening to Reparations in Action here on UhuruRadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. Reparations in Action is the weekly program of the African People Solidarity Committee, the organization of white people working under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party, organizing in the white community in solidarity with the struggle for African liberation, self-determination, and reparations. We'd like to begin by expressing our appreciation to the African People's Socialist Party and Uhuru Radio for giving us this hour every Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on UhuruRadio.com, to bring the message of reparations and solidarity with African liberation into the white community. I'm Kafir Baron, an organizer with USM, and I'm here in the studio with Penny Hess, chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, and we are honored to be joined here today for our program with guest Fenty Thali of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone. Uhuru Fenty, Uhuru Penny.
Uhuru.
Uhuru, Uhuru. I just want to welcome Fenty here and thank Kafira for that opening. And I know that Fenty has been here in St. Petersburg for a couple of months now and is getting ready to go back to Sierra Leone pretty soon. Fenty was here for the Congress of the party, the sixth Congress that happened last month in December. That was pretty amazing. I know I first met you, Fenty, in 2009 in Sierra Leone when I had the honor to go there with the African People's Socialist Party. So I know you've been part of this movement for a while. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Well, we wanted to just interview you and talk to you a little bit about you and the world and the conditions in Sierra Leone and the things that you understand and plan to be building there, as well as the work that you've been doing here, which has been really powerful, really working in the community and working as an organizer here in St. Petersburg for the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. So we wanted to ask you to start with about the conditions in Sierra Leone today, which we understand has some of the most highly valued minerals and diamonds and other kinds of things in the world, and yet the people in Sierra Leone are still suffering from the legacy of colonialism. Could you talk about what that is like?
Yeah, Uhuru comrades, this is a honor to have me on the radio here, Uhuru News, to make sure I speak about the living conditions of our people in Sierra Leone. Before I came to this country in St. P, there was an independent survey that shows so many other things. The main problem we have in Sierra Leone is the problem of a public service delivery, you know. According to the survey, about 1,200 people, you know, responded to so many questions. Out of these 1,200 people, 40% of these people with the ages 18 to 78, according to them, life is better for 2013 than 2012 and 2011. According to this percentage.
They're saying that life is better.
Yes, they say life is better. Well, when somebody says life is better, then it means a life is not actually good.
Right.
But, you know, it is just of the average. Mm-hmm. Out of these 1,200 people that was actually responded, 70% of this number, ages as well, that range from 18 to 78 years, express a shortage of resources. You know, I mean income, food, and other things like medicines. Now, out of this number, over one-third responded, you know, had experience of shortage of water and cooking fuel. And half responded, explaining about poor service delivery in education. And these were some of the problems that actually they outlined. Absent of teachers in school, no text reading materials, and poor school facilities, overcrowded classrooms, poor salary structure, you know. And I know of, because I'm a teacher, I know of some comrades who have left the university have been into the class, have been employed by the government, and have worked for over 5 years without salary. Mm. So how do they live? They live on they live on what I call extortion. Mm-hmm. They extort from the children in the class, you know,
by make the parents pay.
Exactly, mm-hmm. You know, it has been conditioned in the class that every day a child comes to the class, you must come with some amount of resources. Teachers ask the children to pay almost every day 200 leons, which is equivalent to a 50 cent here. This is how the teachers were able to live.
This is public education.
And it is public education.
Yeah.
Well, according to the government, they do not actually want to recruit more teachers because we have about 35,000 teachers in the country. Mm-hmm. And out of these 35,000 teachers, about 15,000 teachers are on payroll. So the 15,000 are out there without any salary. So the only way these teachers can be able to live is extortion in the class. You know, they live on the children. Some they even live on the children's food that they bring into the school. And mind you, a good number of these teachers are young graduates, you know, who have spent so much money in the university only to come out without any salary. It is very much heartrending, you know. And a good number of them, they rather prefer to have extra classes after school. Because the school hours ranges from 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 a.m. in the morning to 2 o'clock p.m. Mm-hmm. in the afternoon. So teachers, they rather prefer to save their energy for after classes. That's after
tutoring,
2 o'clock. Yes.
Tutoring and that kind of thing.
Yes, yeah. You know, exactly. And, you know.
Let me ask you something. I mean, I just think that's the point is that even what is considered, quote, upwardly mobile, like going to the university in the U.S. or something, doesn't translate into a different salary. People, even the so-called middle class of Sierra Leone, doesn't have any money, lives on a dollar, you know, nothing, or a dollar a day or less,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it shows the legacy of colonialism.
Exactly. Exactly. And if I should also just continue from the living conditions there, half of these respondents complain about poor service delivery in education, as I mentioned, about the absence of teachers, no text reading materials, poor school facilities, overcrowded classes, and poor salary. Well, actually, in Sierra Leone, the government says that education is free, but actually it is not free. Because children come every day, some do not even have materials to write on, like books, pens, and pencils. So what teachers do in the class is to make sure they use their own money, they buy textbooks and some writing materials like pens, mm-hmm. and pencil erasers. They bring them into the class, sell them to the children as well. You know? Mm-hmm. And, according to this survey, the government is actually rated badly in narrowing the economy gap, you know, as the economy was very, very bad. The healthcare was also rated badly, with 2/3 of the population in the country complaining lack of medicines in the hospitals.
You have to pay for medicine. You can bring your own food in the hospital.
Yeah.
Which is not clean.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
It's, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, according to the government, the government is claiming that there is a free medical facility now in the country. But they only limited this one to pregnant women. And at times, these women, they have to go into these hospitals. They will sit there for hours and hours. The doctors will not come to work. The nurses will not come on time. Just because they are also complaining of poor salaries from the government. You know, there is always a long waiting line for doctors and nurses in the country. And the government is also rated about 70%, which is very high, in fighting HIV/AIDS and in the roads, maintenance, and the construction and the provision of electricity. But mind you, this rate of 70%, which this survey made, we can only talk of the district headquarters, like the capital city.
Like
Freetown, which is the capital city. We can talk of, better roads and some infrastructure. And if you go down into the province, you have the district headquarters, because Sierra Leone is actually divided into 12 districts. And each of these 12 districts have its own district headquarters. So only the district headquarters can experience of a good roads. You know, but if you go down into the interior, mm-hmm. most of these places, it's horrible.
In the rainy season.
In the rainy season, people don't have anywhere to get water except boreholes. Mm-hmm. And when and whenever, you know, whenever rain comes, you know, erosion takes place. And when erosion takes place, all this water goes down into these boreholes. Except people have to live on rain, mm-hmm. rain collection water. Mm-hmm. And at times, most of this rain collection water is also not good for the people even, you know.
Because they don't have the resources to filter it.
Exactly. They do not have the resources to filter it, nor to buy chemicals to make sure they put into this water to help them or to drink. Mm-hmm. So as a result, there is always a problem of cholera in the country. Most of those areas, you know. Mm-hmm. Diseases, because people live on poor food and they live on poor water. Yeah. You know, I could imagine if somebody is to live on poor food and at the same time you live on poor water, mm-hmm. what are the complications? And even the free medical facility the government is actually trying to talk about in the country, most of those areas, you know, the rural areas, which are very, very poor areas, poor houses, no roads, some other areas, people have to use boats, you know, to go into their villages, no bridges. It is very much terrible. It's actually terrible, you know. And of course, even in the capital city, Freetown, you know, you have hundreds of Africans. I mean, you have hundreds of the rural, you know, people heading for the city because they hope that when they go down into the city, life will be meaningful. But that does not even turn so. You have petty traders in the street all over. Some of them, the business they carry is not even up to $100. Some is not even up to $50. But they are there in the city. Would you hope that, you know, a life would be meaningful? You know? And as a result, crime rate is very, very high in the city. Crime rate is very high. At night, the only company you have is with the mosquitoes. Let me tell you this, you know? Because even the security we have are like the police. They do not work for the people. Most times, people complain of thieves entering into their houses using guns. And who carried the guns in the country?
The police.
These are the police and the soldiers. You know? So there is always this kind of a suspicion that the police could be the ones that actually connive with thieves, you know, at night, you know, or to break into houses. So people in the country actually, especially in the city, are vulnerable in terms of the security. It's very, very poor. You know, you have to pray until you see that the next day, you know, you are alive. But actually, it's very much terrible, you know.
Fenty, when I was in Sierra Leone in 2009, I saw that, in the U.S., we take for granted that a house would have a kitchen, you know, and a bathroom. But in Sierra Leone, people have to cook outside. There aren't generally kitchens. People have to cook outside. So you have the smoke, the smell of smoke and firewood all the time, you know. And that people, you know, you just don't take for granted that you'll go in the kitchen and cook something because you don't have, there aren't kitchens. And a lot of people don't have running water. They don't have bathrooms. They don't have, like you're saying, clean water is only a borehole for the majority of the people. The people live in houses that are really just pieces of tin put together. And this is the legacy of colonialism because
exactly.
Sierra Leone is so wealthy, but not the people, because the government, you know, because the corporations are extracting it, taking it literally out of the country day by day in trains, you know, to Europe and to China and other places like that. But typically it's been Europe and British colonialism that was there. And the people have nothing. And I just, you know, I think that you know, the wealth of Sierra Leone is in the United States. It's in the white communities in Europe and every place else. We benefit from it. And I think that, you know, Sierra Leone is just an example of Africa where the people have nothing, and the legacy of colonialism is still there. You know, I think that's so clear.
Yeah, you see, that is why the revolution have to take place in Sierra Leone, actually. Initially, we were actually expecting the Revolutionary United Front, the RAF, that fought in the country for 11 good years, would have bring some amount of changes. But I don't consider that one to be as a revolution. No. Because a revolution means you bring in changes, you try to liberate the people. But they do not come to liberate the people. What they do is to create anarchy in the country, you know. That is why the APSP, I think, it will be very good for, you know, at the party to lay more effort in the country. Of course, that is why I am here. All what you're saying is very correct. This is a complete legacy of new colonialism. Because if you look at the country is very rich. But the riches do not go to the people who are supposed to have the actually, you know, the reward of all the riches we are talking of. But it goes down to private organizations that are actually headed by America and England. Yeah, and even Belgium. You know, most of these other countries, they go there, extract these minerals and take them across and they leave the people like that. And even the government there do not even rethink to realize that actually the people are suffering. We need to make sure we control our own resources. They also form part of the deal to make sure these resources are being extracted out of the country. Could you imagine a country that is actually rated of having best diamonds in the world, just as you are saying? People live without, you know, people live without any good toilets, you know, any good water supply, no electricity, no kitchens. The kitchens are built outside. And when the rain falls, you know, the people always have series of problems, you know. I think the question of the revolution, it really have to be, you know, seriously concentrated in the country to make sure we overturn the system, you know. And now we have what we refer to as...
all over Africa.
And all over Africa.
Because there can't be one little thing because...
Yes. Sierra Leone can't fight on its own.
Lumumba tried to do.
Yes. Yes. Sierra Leone can't fight on its own, you know. It has to be done all over Africa, actually. That is why initially I have been given the responsibility to make sure I work within the sub-region of West Africa to make sure we organize. We get organized to make sure we turn over the system. But actually, it is very much terrible, you know, for people to live in this kind of condition. And we know the American government, the British government, and other governments in the world are actually responsible for the condition of the people in the country. So we really need to ask this European nation to make sure they pay the people of Africa, they pay the people of the country a reparation. We need it because you know all our resources are here. What do America have? I've been touring, you know, all over the place, watching how the country is built, the streets are paved, and I look at, you know, the history of the country. What does America have that they are so rich? Their streets are so paved. There is light almost every day. There is water almost every day. You know, all these things are not happening in Sierra Leone. Are not happening in Africa. Mm-hmm. Only here. So what always reminds me is, I believe the theft of our resources could be found in America here.
Yes.
Could be found here. And I believe 90% of our resources is here. So we really need to ask for a reparation. They really need to pay. They really need to pay for the suffering of our people. This is an untold suffering, you know.
Yes,
it is very much untold suffering, you know, into the hands of our people. People die every day. People suffer every day. You know, we hate each other just because everybody is trying to make out a living.
Yes,
we really need to ask for this reparation.
Uhuru.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And I just wanted to, we're going to break for some announcements, and then we'll be back with Fenty Thali of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone.
You're listening to WhoRadio.com. voice of the International African Revolution. On Sunday, January 19th, the African People's Socialist Party will conduct the first in a series of online political education classes on the theory of African internationalism and the program of the party. This first session will focus on the 14-point platform of APSP USA, which can be found in each issue of the Burning Spear newspaper or online at apspuhuru.org. Tune in here on Uhuru Radio or watch the study live on the Uhuru News live stream channel from 4 till 6 p.m. U.S. Eastern Standard Time, January 19th. Submit your questions and comments via the live stream chat or email dj@uhururadio.com. That's Sunday, January 19th at 4 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. Tell your friends and tune in.
Uhuru, we're back on Reparations in Action. I just wanted to make a few other announcements about upcoming important events. On Sunday, February 9th, we'll be reviewing the imperialism in crisis and the importance of building survival programs. Some background on that. Built on the backs of African and indigenous and oppressed peoples, parasitic capitalism and imperialism are being brought down. Resistance of colonized across the planet has pushed the system into its death throes with no recovery in sight. Learn more about the origins and present reality of this crisis and what many are predicting for this upcoming period as poverty and unemployment soar and the U.S. dollar continues to decline. Also learn how you can participate in the revolutionary survival programs of the African People's Socialist Party, building dual power through African reliance, self-reliance. Get ready for the crash. Build the African Revolution, Sunday, February 9th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, and it'll be live streamed at uhurunews.org. And Uhuru Solidarity Movement will be holding a live web conference this next Sunday, January 26th, 1 to 4 p.m. We'll kick off the live national web conference with Reparations in Action, featuring leaders of the Uhuru Movement. Chairman Amalia Shatella and Deputy Chair Ona Zinaya Shatella will be speaking. And then we will go into a program to discuss how the Uhuru Solidarity Movement will be building nationally through a global campaign for reparations to African people. This is how white people can unite with a strategy for the liberation of all oppressed peoples. And we call on you to email info@uhurusolidarity.org for login details, and that way you can get involved and take on a role in this important organization to build solidarity and reparations. And getting back to our interview with Fenty Thali of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone, I want to thank you again for being on the show. I reviewed one of your speeches at an International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement rally in St. Petersburg, and you mentioned that you saw how the experience of African people in the U.S. has little difference than African people in Sierra Leone. If you wanted to speak on that issue and what you see here in the U.S.
Yeah, thank you again to the next session. Since I came, I've been out in the street doing outreach programs for the 6th Congress of the African People's Socialist Party, which took place December 7th to the 11th, that has just ended. Actually, I've seen so many things in this country in terms of Africans that are actually found in North America here. Actually, it is actually terrible. Most times I look at the conditions in Sierra Leone, and I look at the conditions in this country of which the African people actually they undergo here. I look at most of the houses, they live in. I think the only difference I can actually talk of, perhaps here they have the opportunity, to see good roads and maybe they drink good water here and, they do some other stuff. But in terms of suffering, I think it is actually terrible, I always go down to the stores. I see these Africans, they hang around the stores, asking people to give them just a dollar, asking people just to give them 25 cents. At times with the little resources I have, In fact, the other day I was with Achimoringa. I went to a park. I look at the number of Africans that are in the park. I had to shed tears, you know, because when we are in Africa, we are always told that things are very much nice in America and everything is going down nice. But when I came, this is not what I saw. You know, there are so many Africans in the street suffering, so many in the street there without, you know, having anywhere to live. You know, some are homeless. It is actually terrible, you know. I see most of the youths, you know, spend time in these parks, playing gamble, playing these cards, some involved in drugs taking. Well, I believe they are doing all these things. You know, it is due to the activities of imperialism in this country, in the lives of the Africans, you know.
Yes.
And I see so many youths who are actually mad in the street there. When at times, I look at them, I try to analyze. I know it is colonialism affecting their lives. Some actually, they do not know what to do. I spoke with some comrades, you know, the other day, who told me they want to go to school, but Obama does not allow them to go to school. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, who is this Obama, a black president that Africans in this country were expecting, things should have turned around, you know, in the conditions of Africans here. But things does not turn so, you know. You know, a friend told me that I want to go to school, but I cannot go to school because I do not have any money to pay. Mm-hmm. So it means the same poverty we are experiencing in Africa, you know, Africans in America here are also experiencing the same problem. They are without good homes. I see so many houses are empty. People are not living in there. Mm-hmm. So there is always this question I've been asking. Why there are so many empty houses and people live in the street, especially Africans?
Yes.
This is terrible. Yes. Well, you know, if I can actually reflect, according to the political education of the chairman, we Africans have the same sense of sameness in terms of conditions. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In terms of what we have gone through, colonialism, it is affecting our lives here. Mm-hmm. You know. You see, most of these guys, they move around without any jobs. They have been chased by the police every day. Mm-hmm. I saw an event which took place at the Silver Lake Park, the issue of Ajinorish. He was there spending time on his own, trying to think how he can make a living for the day. And some cops came there and he was arrested for nothing.
Yes.
For nothing. Just because being black. Just because being Africans. So all these are actually terrible conditions, you know. The last time I met an African woman having 3 kids in the street, asking her, my sister, what are you doing here? She told me, she has been kicked out of the house where she was staying because she does not have money to pay. You see? So it's like I have seen the sense of sameness in this country to the Africans that are actually in Sierra Leone and the ones that are here. I have seen the same sense of sameness in terms of suffering, in terms of poverty, you know, outrageous conditions. Actually, it is very, very bad, you know, and these are things actually we need to go there and tell our brothers in Africa that the way people talk of America is not actually the way we have seen it. It's not the way we have seen it. So we rather prefer, you know, to go around and organize ourselves and make sure we fight back to make sure the resources we have in Africa belongs to we, the Africans, to change our lives through reparation as well.
Uhuru.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Well, I mean, that is a really powerful statement, and I know that the conditions of African people here are colonialism, and like you're saying, the sense of sameness of the African nation, whether Africans are in Haiti, whether they're in Brazil, whether they're in Europe, you know, whether they're in Africa, whether in the United States, the conditions are the same everywhere. There's no place in the world where Africans are prosperous and wealthy and, you know, living the life that they should. And you know, this is the question of colonialism, and I think it's really profound, and why only the understandings of the chairman and the African People's Socialist Party, African internationalism is the only thing that can change the world, because it goes to the truth that this system is built on slavery. It's not a bad, it's not capitalism that went bad. It didn't get corrupt. That's the way it was built. That was the way it was formed. And that's why it has to be overturned, you know. And I just, you know, I'm just very moved by what you have been saying. We've talked a little bit about the conditions in Sierra Leone. I know the diamond workers who don't even get paid for digging the diamonds, and people haven't even seen a diamond.
Well,
they never saw a diamond until they come to this country and they see white people with diamonds on their fingers.
Exactly.
You know, they've only seen a clump of dirt that they dig out of the land for nothing.
Yeah.
And yet millions, billions of dollars are being made on those diamonds. We saw the pictures, I think it was a video, and there was, it showed the train leaving Sierra Leone with just, they don't even sift out the minerals. They just take big clumps of soil and dirt and just pile it up in the train cars with, what, 100 cars just going out of the country to the ships. And every day, I mean, you just imagine that Sierra Leone must be this huge hole. They're just digging so much out of it. And this is happening everywhere. And the same in Congo, where Africans are being murdered so that we can have coltan to fuel the computers that everybody has around the world that we're using right now, you know. And so it has to end.
It has to end.
You know, and I just think that Africa should be the wealthiest, most prosperous continent in the world. African people should be the most prosperous people in the world. And every child should have a home, you know, an education, and the ability to contribute to society in a really powerful way.
Yes.
So, you know, I just think that that is really, really, really powerful to hear you speak today. And I don't know if there's anything else that you want to say about this question of the resources, the diamonds. I know diamonds were, that they called it blood diamonds when it was the so-called Civil War, which was really an imperialist war inside of Sierra Leone in the 1990s. But all diamonds are blood diamonds because Africans don't control any of the diamonds. So I don't know if there's anything else that you want to say about the whole question of the resources in Sierra Leone.
Yes. Well, it is. This is actually unfortunate, you know. Well, there is always this question in mind: are the diamonds we have, are the riches, the diamond, the gold, the silver, the ore we have in the country, is this a blessing or is this a curse? This has always been, you know, the question in my mind. You know, are this a curse or a blessing? Actually, this was a blessing to we, the Africans. But due to colonialism, due to imperialism, due to neo-colonialism, today, all these minerals we are talking about today, which is actually sad to even talk about, because it's like you have food in your house to eat, but you can't even see where this food is being shared. You can't even have control of what you have. It is actually terrible. Well, to me, the question of diamonds, the question of iron ore, gold, and all the other things is actually, you know, it is actually something that at times, you know, I don't like to actually talk about, because we were supposed to have lived, you know, the best life in the world.
Yes.
In 1930, we are told that the biggest diamond, which was like a size of a like the size of a fist, was taken in Kono.
Yes.
Yengema.
Yeah.
You know, which at least if actually that diamond was to have been put into good use, I believe every Sierra Leonean and even the next generation to come would have lived on that one. But where are the resources? You know, what is the benefit we have got out of it? We don't know. And just as you rightly said,
We have thousands of people in the country that have never set their eyes on single gold or not even diamond. But still, we talk of diamonds and gold in the country. This is because the British government, Belgium, America, and other companies, they go into the country, they dig these minerals and ship them across the, you know, across the Atlantic Ocean and bring them into Europe. I went to a shopping mall a few days ago, myself and Gaida. I was actually having a look at the safes where you see this diamond. So I told SD Gaida that America is a very good place for people to ask for reparation. Because the number of gold and diamond I see on that day moves me and gives me the conviction that this country have done so much. Have done so much in Africa. Have done so much in that country, Sierra Leone, bringing our resources here. Today, the diamond mining companies in the country are still there. Even though not in a large scale, but they are still there. Still doing the same damn deal that they have been doing. Stealing the resources. They
are direct colonialism.
They are still there under the same colonialism we have been. They are still there. You know, today if you go down to Kono was used to be the most predominant area found in the south, because in the country, the eastern part of the country and the southern part of the country have a large amount of diamonds there. Kono is no longer as it used to be. It is the most poorest district headquarters you can ever find, with poor roads, no electricity, no water, nothing. You can't even compare it to a village, Kono, which actually supposed to have been the capital city of the country. Because all the riches we are actually, you know, trying to talk about here that comes up from the country comes from that area.
That's the center of the diamond area.
That's the central headquarters of the diamonds we are talking about in this country. But it is the least developed area that we cannot even compare to a village or today.
Mm-hmm. And yet, how much wealth comes out of there every single day, stolen?
Millions.
Yes.
Millions. Yes. Millions, millions, millions of dollars every day comes from that place. But that place is the most backward, you know, town you can ever think of. Very, 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 very backward. In fact, most of the houses have submerged into water. All over the place has been dodged. Some people even dig their houses right into their houses and found gold. And found diamonds. Some sell their houses. You can break your house today because most of the houses there are being built with mud. Mm-hmm. And it is this mud that actually is being soaked and washed into plants.
To clean, in other words, it has chemicals in it.
That yes.
Or cleaning the diamonds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So most people they even broke their houses, you know, to look out for these diamonds. And indeed, they get these diamonds. But who buy these diamonds? These are foreigners. Mm-hmm. You know? These are foreigners. And the problem is, Sierra Leone does not have any mining company to make sure they extract this mining, you know, these minerals.
Yes.
Instead, they rather prefer to sell a whole lot of acre to foreigners.
Yes.
The British people, American government, they mine these diamonds there. And other nations. So as a result, the benefit does not go to the people. Individual miners, even what they mine, is being taken away by, you know, by rich people out from these countries here. You know? And the amount they pay for most of this diamond is not even compared to what they make here. So this is complete stealing. This is complete robbery.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I can remember the last time when the chairman went to the Berlin conference. I think it was in Germany, when the chairman was asking for reparation.
Yes.
And we really need to go in for this thing. It is something serious and we need to take it very serious.
Yes.
American government and the British government, these are the two prominent nations.
Yes.
That goes down to Africa and take all our minerals, all our resources, and leave us with nothing.
Yes.
They really need to pay. You know, today, miners in the villages, mm-hmm. they do their mining in a very small scale. Mm-hmm. And if you do mining in a very small scale, you can't get the best of what you want. They have that most they call they call them number 10s. You know, they are just like sand.
Little tiny diamonds.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, chips or something.
Chips, you know, which actually do not cost much. Mm-hmm. It's how they live. Mm-hmm. And today, Kono has been even abandoned. The diamond that people have been talking about, the Kono district, is no longer there.
Wow.
The places where people have been going to make sure they go there in 30 minutes, they bring a huge amount of diamonds. These diamonds are no longer there again. They've turned to those places today as swamps, wherein they grow crops. Because the Kono district was a district that people never grow crops. They depend on diamond. But today, they do not depend on diamond any longer because these diamonds are no longer going to be seen. Because, you know, powerful machines have been taken into that country. Mm-hmm. They mine those diamonds. Mm-hmm. They make sure that they do not leave a single diamond again.
Mm.
They have been taken across. So, people did know that there are no longer diamonds there, so they rather prefer to do other activities, which is farming. So,
Uhuru. I mean, just to see the hundreds of years, the half of a millennium, you know, 500 years or more that Africa has been raped, literally, for the benefit of Europe. This is how capitalism got started. And for us in the Solidarity Committee, the question of reparations is what we deal with. This is what we talk about.
Yes.
Because it is not charity.
Yes.
Because charity is something, oh, here's a crumb, and that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
But the reparations is about returning the stolen resources, which is if the only way that this world can continue. Because imperialism will destroy all of Africa. It will kill everyone. It will destroy the environment. It will do everything just to get that last bit of money out of it for the imperialists. And the only way the world's going to exist in the future is for Africa to be free. It's in the interests of white people and all people. You know, the money, the resources have to go back to Africa. You look at, there is no way that any resources or money was created in this country that is not involved in enslavement of Africans,
yes.
in colonialism,
yes.
theft of the land of yes. the native people and the genocide. There's no way. Everything
yes.
is blood-soaked. Everything that white people see as, oh, my future, I worked so hard, blah, blah, blah. It's all a theft. It is all the stolen resources of the planet. And it has to end. And it's in our interest. I mean, you know, we have to jump in and be part of this because this world can't go on the way it is, you know?
Yes.
You can only pull a rubber band back so far. It's just going to, the people, African people are going to, liberate Africa and organize and overturn the system because it has to go. It is a filthy, filthy system that has to go.
Yeah, now they've done the deal they're supposed to have done in stealing, you know, our resources. Now they are there extracting iron ore.
Mm-hmm.
Iron ore. The video show that I presented the day of the Congress, they have trains. I use the word trains, about 10 trains.
Mm-hmm.
10 trains. Each of these trains is about 110
cars.
Wagons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The length.
Yes.
110.
Yes.
And each of these one carries about 78,000 tons. Each of this one. So if you multiply this one by 110, you will know the amount of theft that is also being carried out now in the country.
Every day.
Every day. It is on 24 hours basis. It is on 24 hours. No, well, I was expecting the government in the country to make sure they bring in these people they call experts. They extract this oil in the country. Develop it in the country and to make sure the people get the benefit out of it. But they are not doing it. Now, what they do is they make sure they go and take the soil that has this ore.
Yeah.
You see, they make sure they go there and take the ore with the swell together, ship this thing across. If you go down to Freetown, if you are coming from the airport, because from the airport to the capital city, we have a big ocean. It is called the Atlantic Ocean there, you know, which is about roughly about 16 miles. You find a very big ship in that water. That ship, I want to believe about 220 of these wagons that fills into that ship to make one shipment. And this happens every day on daily basis. This one goes to take the swell. This one comes back from where the swell has been deposited. And it's like to and fro. Yes. It is there.
Yes.
And let me tell you, according to what we learned, the contract they signed for extracting this iron ore is for 72 good years. It's for 72 good years.
That's why it has to be revolution.
That is why it has to be a serious revolution. Yes. And I'm telling you, the people are tired.
Yes.
The people are tired. In the phoning programs we have in the country, people always call, ask about the living of this training in this country. And the government need to explain. But just as we know, the bourgeoisie government we have there, they form part of the big coup. They form part of the big status quo to make sure they help in destroying the nation. And this is the area we have to struggle. This is going to be the area of impedium to struggle to make sure we make this thing known into the international community and take, you know, the bull by its own by ourselves.
Yes. Fenty, and it's been really powerful speaking with you. I really appreciate this interview. Just tell us, we have just a few minutes left. Tell us a little bit about what you do plan, how you do plan to organize, and what kind of programs you see the African People's Socialist Party and the ASI, African Socialist International, building in Sierra Leone, West Africa.
Well, a few weeks back, immediately after the Congress, actually, we were asked to, as a leader of the region now in West Africa, we were asked to present our POE. And actually, I have so many things in mind. But the first thing that actually strikes me is to give a political education to our people, because our people do not know things that are happening. We really need to inform the people about things that are happening.
Absolutely.
Because we were expecting the government to have given what I refer to as civic education for people to know things that are happening. But since they form part of the status quo, they will not do that. They will rather prefer to keep the people away from not knowing things that are happening. But as a member of the APSP now, I have got the knowledge. I have got the understanding. We have seen things we need to actually struggle with. I have seen things we really need to make a struggle on. So the first thing we have to do is to make sure the forces we have on the ground, we help them politically to know things that are actually happening. We build up their ability to know what the movement actually is about. Because we are trying to push, you know, our comrades not having the feeling of an APSP as an NGO. It is not an NGO. This is a revolution.
Right. It's not an NGO.
Because this is a problem that most people do not know. And we are not only here to make noise or to say we go about and say things the way we just feel. We are making a true revolution about things that are actually happening. So it's like the question of the land. The question of the land, the question of the minerals, our resources, is going to be a struggle of which impedium is actually going to struggle with. And we really want to, you know, make a struggle with the government to make sure that the train, those trains that are taken there to make sure our resources are being stolen again, has to be stopped.
Yeah, to take on a campaign around.
We really want to play a role on that area, because we have done that in the past. There are workers in the mine, you know, because they have an area called Mandika or so. That area, they have a project there wherein they plant the sugar cane in a large plantation, thousands and thousands of acres. Workers there have been mistreated seriously. Mm-hmm. Impidon went down to McKinney there, and so good, the leadership team that left here and went there, they met this issue and they met us into the struggle. We went down to McKinney and stood by the side of the workers, asking for better treatment of conditions or the company close. We did that one. Mm-hmm. And we made our own demands in the area of this train that goes into the country. We made demands that immediately the government should make a cessation, should stop this mining company. Because we are asking for the production of this of this well that has been taken out, that has a large amount of iron ore, to be processed in the country. And we asked the government to make sure the negotiation they make with those who went down there to make sure they steal our resources come to an end. Mm-hmm. Great. These are actually questions we have to actually fight. Mm-hmm. To make sure people get good services in the country. And the government should also tell us,
yes,
what is the produce, what is the amount of money being actually given to them by this company. We really want the government to tell us. We really want to know a whole lot of things about the mining company that is now in the country with trains to take our minerals out of the country. We want to know that question. And it is a struggle we are going to work with. And even people within that area, we have plans to talk with the chiefs, those who own the land, mm-hmm. to know that in the near future, it is going to cause a serious disaster for even the generation yet unborn. Mm-hmm. Because they go there and fool the people.
Yeah.
That if we allow these minerals to continue to stay into the land, these minerals will cause an effect into their lives.
Yes.
And these things are non-living. How can you fool the people like that? Does non-living things move? They do not move. But they are saying these things one day will become, will actually give them bad effect. So we want to go again there and tell the people the true picture of things. This is the struggle of the ASI and Impidon that we actually have to do on the ground. And if possible, ask for reparation.
Yes. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
And it educates the people.
And educate the people.
About.
Yes, about what is going on, about their condition. Yeah.
Yes, that's powerful. That's really powerful. Well, it has been just such an honor to be able to have you here in St. Pete, and also to be able to interview you today, Fenty. And we want to thank you very much for coming on the show.
Uhuru.
This will be aired this Sunday, and we're really excited about getting the word out about this show and having people listen to it.
Uhuru.
That was profound.
Uhuru.
Yes, I really appreciate you explaining from your own experience in Sierra Leone, because we don't normally hear what is actually happening there on the ground. You know, we get it filtered through a media that is controlled by colonialism. So I really appreciate hearing about that. And we look forward to seeing more of the work in the building of the African People's Socialist Party. And the Uhuru Solidarity Movement will continue to build reparations through 2014. And Penny has one more thing.
I just wanted to say one other thing, because I just think that any person, any Euro-American who heard this show today would have to be powerfully moved that they need to join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and the African People's Solidarity Committee.
Yes.
And a lot of us, a lot of white people, are, they say, I want to go to Africa. Yeah. I want to, our job is to fight here, exactly. That, inside the belly of the beast.
Yes.
That's why
yes.
the African People's Solidarity yes. Committee was formed. And it's very glamorous to say, I went to Africa and I went to South America and did this and that. But that's, a kind of tourism. Yeah. That is not a revolutionary struggle. We have to be taking the question of African internationalism inside the heart of the white society and win other people. And that's
yes.
what this job is. So any white people that want to, quote, help Africa, fight here, fight to end. Fenty said it. U.S., Europe are the main forces that have colonized and bled Africa dry and been responsible for just untold suffering of African suffering. People yes. that continues today.
Yes.
And if we want to change that and we want to be part of that, join the African People Solidarity Committee under the leadership of the African Revolution that gave us the job, go back into the white community, which we're like, what? We don't want to do that. But that is our job. Of course it is. We're responsible for that. And so this, I just feel that anybody who heard you speak today will want to join this work, join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. We have a conference coming up next Sunday that you can tune into online and join the world.
Yeah.
Join in solidarity with African people. Let's bring this sucker down right here that is responsible for the suffering of the majority of humanity. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
We are in the belly of the beast, and it's our responsibility as white people to take on the pedestal that we've been living on. And to do that, to jump off that pedestal, I want to reiterate again that you join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and tune in, be a part of the conference next Sunday, January 26th, 1 to 4 p.m. The first hour, we will be doing reparations in action with the leaders of the Uhuru Movement. And we'll be able to hear more about the programs of the African People's Socialist Party. And then you will be able to participate and learn about what roles you can take on as white people. You know, we have to take responsibility, reparations, and you can contribute with your skills. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
To see none of us are free, none of us are free. say, 'cause the world is getting smaller.